Will you turn with me to that portion of the scriptures we read together? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. The very familiar words and events concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. But I want this morning to take out verse 2. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? This text and our meditation this morning follows on and was provoked by our meditation last Sunday evening. Last Sunday night we were thinking of a very simple question by the Philippian jailer in Acts 16. What must I do to be saved? A very important, spiritual, urgent, vital question for every one of us. And having looked at one question, it immediately started my mind thinking of other questions that might be profitable for us to consider. And so therefore this morning, I want us to think of this simple question that is posed for us here in verse 2. A question that is so simple but carries a tremendous spiritual weight of experience and challenge. Where is he? Where is he? That's the simple question I want us to think of this morning, following on from that one of last Sunday night. It was a question posed by these wise men, and they were different in many ways from the people of Jerusalem. They had come from a far-off country with a different culture, different dress, different language, and because there wasn't the same movement then as there is today, societies and cities and countries were very insular. And therefore somebody strange coming amongst them would immediately have attracted attention and would have stood out from the rest of the populace. And therefore being different, people began to listen to what they were saying, why they were there, and especially this question that no doubt they would have asked as soon as they came within range of the city of Jerusalem itself. Their presence stirred no little interest. The question kept on probing their society and their people of the day. And Matthew wants us to be part of that crowd. Matthew wants us to be in there with that same interest and that involvement in the search. He gives us this word in verse 1. Behold. Now in scripture, wherever that word occurs, the writer wants us to focus very carefully on what's happening. It's different, but it's also vital for us. It's something that we need to listen to or to see or to pay attention to. It's not something we can walk past indifferently. It's not something that we can safely put onto the back burner. It's not something we can leave in a corner. It's something front and center, important for us. And that's what Matthew wants us to grasp hold of and to be involved with. This simple question that these wise men asked is a question that is important for every one of us and all of humanity, because it's a question searching for Jesus. And that's what we need to be doing ourselves. The question, as I say, was repeated when they were going through the streets and marketplaces of Jerusalem. Eventually word got to the king and Herod was troubled, as well as the city, over what was being spoken about and searched for. These wise men, they didn't doubt the fact of the coming of Christ. All that they wanted was to know where it had happened, so that they could go and honour him and worship him. They were searching for Jesus. And as we come to church and as we come to this service or to any other, these wise men test us also. That's why Matthew wants us to be involved. Because these wise men are sitting beside us now in our service. These wise men, their question is ringing to us down through the generations. They were asking, where is he? And as they were asking, the immediate echo in our life is, are we asking? Why are we here? What have we come for to come to church? What do we want from our service? The question, stripping away everything else and going to the very center of our lives, where is he? That is the most important question for ourselves this morning. The question, we can see it in so many different ways. The psalmist in Psalm 42 was longing for God. He was longing and yearning to go to know God and to go to God's presence. He had known it in the past. He had been with God's people and now he was searching for that same experience again. Where is he? We can see from Psalm 42. It applies to so many different kinds of people. Yes, the person inquiring after Jesus when we've been awakened to our need, when God has been at work inside us, when there's been a stirring of our soul and our conscience, when we realize that the things of this world don't satisfy us as they once did, when we let Jesus drift and we lose the daily reality of fellowship with Jesus, when things become formal and habitual. There are so many different pictures we can paint where this question comes time and time again as the one question we've got to ask, where is he? Oh, that I might find him, Job said. That I might find him. Longing in all of his troubles, his problems, going through the difficulties and the severe testing that he experienced. And he wants to know where he is, where his God is. The question then for us this morning. Let's go through the experience of these people and see what lessons we can get for ourselves. And the first thing I want to draw attention to is the fact that they were searching. They saw the star and they went out after it. They were curious. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? And they were searching for Jesus with the highest and the noblest and the most spiritual of reasons. Herod, on the other hand, was jealous. It was malice towards the child that provoked his search and his audience with these wise men. In the city of promise, because Jerusalem was the city of promise, in the city of promise, there was nobody seeking after the child. And from the king downward, they were concerned, even although these wise men were curious. Today the same applies. There's so much excitement goes on round about us. There's so much preparation goes on every day of the year, every season of the year. Today people's excitement perhaps goes about the sport, tennis, golf, racing. Preparation goes and focuses upon holidays, and what they're going to do with their time over the summer, the garden, the weather. There's so much excitement about other things. But is there any searching? Is there any time given to let this question come to the surface of our lives? Where is he? We may come to church, but why do we come? Is it habit or is it ritual alone that takes us? Do we go through the motions? Or is there, on the other hand, at a deep and a new spiritual stirring in my soul? Something that's not been there before. God has been working and leading you into new experiences. He's been taking you by the hand and showing you new things. And out of these new things, there has developed this spiritual interest, even curiosity, to know more about God. And this question that they ask is the question that you're now asking. Where is he, that I might know him? And whenever the Lord is at work in our lives in this way, we begin to set our agenda, our priorities, our procedures in a wholly different way. We begin to prepare before we come to church. We listen while we're in church with a more personal interest. And after we leave, we begin to think over what we've been told. We want more. We're looking for someone for our soul. We are convinced that he's the one that we must have. A curiosity that has been stirred within us because of a spiritual work that's been done. A curiosity that is drawing us to a spiritual solution to our problems. Searching. They were curious. But not only were they curious, but they confessed their ignorance, because they said, these, yes, they were wise men, and they were asking questions, but they knew their limitations. They says, where is he? They didn't know everything, and they were freely willing to admit it. They confessed their ignorance. There was a time, perhaps, when we weren't prepared to admit that we were ignorant of anything, especially in the spiritual realm. Yes, everything was just fine with us. There's nothing wrong with me. That's the way we once spoke, until God came into our lives and drew back the curtain. And we began to realize just how deep the spiritual problem was with us. That we were in fact blind, even although we said we were seeing. We didn't understand, even although we were reading. We didn't apply it, even although we had it in our memory. Yes, we thought we knew everything that there was to know, or everything that was necessary to know in spiritual things. Until, that is, God took us in hand and began to show us bit by bit how much we didn't know. And especially the way in which we were ignorant of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. The work of God's Spirit in us, bringing us down to the place and to the point where we acknowledge, I don't know this. I don't know this person, but I want to. I'm ignorant, and I'm searching. It's a spiritually hard lesson that we are unable to help ourselves. But that's the step to being helped by God. confessing their ignorance, like we must do. But that confessing of their ignorance didn't stop them in their tracks, because they continued to seek. They didn't stay where ignorance had brought them and where God had shown them. They didn't stop there. There was this yearning inside them to know more of God. They wanted to know where Jesus was. So they kept asking the question, where is he? Where is he? We might, yes, try so many different things ourselves. These people, when they came into the city, they were asking at the gate, along the streets, in the marketplaces, the soldiers. We can always, in our own mind, imagine the way in which they kept on asking. They kept on seeking. Nobody answered their question. But that did not put them off. They did not rest until they found the one they were looking for. They continued to seek. When the Lord God works in our hearts and soul, and when there is that spiritual interest provoked and promoted within us, yes, we begin to see things that we never seen before. Concerns come to the surface of our lives that never disturbed us in the past. How can I be forgiven is a question we never thought of asking, certainly never asked with any great concern in the past. But now it's there, always, if not on the surface, not far from the surface of our lives. There's always that concern now about spiritual things and a relationship with God. That's the work of God's Spirit within us. And having provoked that interest, how do we handle it? What do we do with it? Do we continue to pursue? Do we continue to chase down? Do we continue to search with this question driving us onward? Where is he? Where is he? The one that I need. The one that I want. Where is he? The searching, the constant searching by these wise men, the way they were not deterred or put off, they weren't deflected or distracted. There's so much of these things round about us today. Oh yes, society will try its worst, its best, whichever way we put it. But there will always be obstacles that will try to trip us up, turn us aside, try to smother this interest. We must not yield. We must not be content with second best. We must not rest until we know for ourselves the answer to that question. Where is he? Where is the bread of life? Where is the water of life? Where is he who is the Savior, the Messiah? Where is the Lord Jesus Christ? They continued to search. They were not trifling. There was something in dead earnest about what they were doing. And in all of their behavior and all of this experience, they are speaking to and challenging us. They're searching. But what else can we say about these men? Not only were they searching, they were also stimulated. There was something that drove them on. What was it? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. They saw something unique, unusual, that stirred them in their search. They were privileged in being given that star, and therefore they were responsible to follow it through. They were stimulated in the way they lived, behaved, and searched. And that same simple lesson comes home to ourselves also. Perhaps we've seen something just as unique. Perhaps we've heard something so different for ourselves. Maybe sitting in a service in a gospel. Maybe sitting in another place with another minister. Be it maybe a funeral or a special occasion, a communion, whatever be the service or the setting. Maybe we were there aware of heaven breaking into our life. Maybe there we had some insight into spiritual truths. We were given a little picture of the wonderful shades of the riches of God's grace and of God's mercy. And there, in that little event, wherever it took place, God's breaking into our life. And we can say then, that's for me. We realize God is speaking to us personally and powerfully. We've been given the privilege, something similar to what these wise men were given. They were stimulated to keep going and ask the question, where is he? And as the Lord has dealt with us, maybe in the past, as the Lord perhaps has broken into our life with something similar to the experiences we've been trying to paint and fill in, we too have been stimulated. God has spoken to us in other places at other times. And the effect of that event there and then in the past brings us down the same path and with the same searching and with the same question as these men had. We're still going on. We're still searching. Where is he? They were not distracted. Let's put it this way. Star was something unique. It was something unusual. It was something different. But they didn't stop being captivated by what was happening in the heavens and with the celestial bodies. They didn't sit down and say, well, isn't that an amazing sight? They didn't stop like that at all. But they used the star to draw them onwards. They used the star to bring them to Jerusalem. They didn't stop with the privileges they had, but they carried on to where they led. The same with ourselves. Yes, we've had some of these blessings and privileges we've tried to speak of and picture out. Yes, we've got some of these experiences in our lives. God has been perhaps beside us, speaking to us, touching our lives, showing us the emptiness of this world and all its society's provision. Yes, perhaps there's been things that have filled our lives up till now, but we've suddenly realized just how tasteless they are, how empty it all is. God has been at work in us. We've had great privileges. But all of these privileges are to one end. They are to bring us to seek after and to find for ourselves the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is he? We've been stimulated as they have been in the past by different things coming into our lives. Turn it around or apply it in different ways. We spoke at the very beginning about the way in which this applies not only to the person who's been convicted and Spirit of God has been at work in them, but think of the Christian we read of those who follow afar off. We can let things drift. We can lose that daily reality of fellowship with Christ. We've been stimulated because we know what we've lost. We know what we've left behind. And when we know what we've now lost, we have been stimulated to go back and to search for it ourselves with the same question as others have been asking. Where is he? Where is the one that I love? Where is my Saviour? Where have our roads parted? Where have I taken my leave of him? What is it that broke it? What is it that intervened? What came between us? Where is he? They were searching. They were stimulated. One last thought. They were satisfied by the service they rendered and their sight of the Saviour. The wise men came to the child. And when they found him, they were filled with exceeding great joy. Verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And they showed that joy in three simple ways. The first one is all too simple that we can perhaps look over. We can sometimes not get the significance of it. We are told that they looked on Jesus. They saw the young child with Mary his mother. They saw him for who and what he was. Here is God incarnate. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, veiled in flesh. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ subjecting himself to the limitations of a human body in life. They looked upon him and they saw the amazing grace of God in sending his Son in this way amongst us. The Saviour is always the focus of attention. Whenever you find the description of the domestic scene, the child is always mentioned first. It is always the focus and the center of the picture and the words. It is always Jesus and Mary. There is the attention, fixed and riveted upon the one, the manifestation of the truth, the loving kindness, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw him draped in humanity, but clothed in glory. They saw him, the one who is the Messiah, anointed and appointed. They saw him, the Redeemer, the Saviour. What do we look? What do we see when we look? Do we see something attractive in Jesus Christ? Do we see him in something of his glory and the appropriateness of his being? Do we see him? And what we see, does it well up within us in worship and praise? Because that's what they continued to do. They saw him as the Messiah. They had been guided by the star. And Christ now was the fulfillment of their search. And they came and they worshipped him. They fell down before him, satisfied that all was now at an end as far as the journey they were on. They came and they found him at last. When we've been awakened and disturbed by God's Spirit within us, when we've been shown something of our own need and our own soul and our own hearts, We are on a same journey as these men were. Where is he? Is the cry we have because we're looking for relief and pardon. Where is he? Is what we're asking time and time again of those we meet in the street. The pages of scripture we read and the sermons we hear. Where is he? I want him. And when the Lord draws near to us, when our troubled conscience is laid to rest, when our souls that are hurting have been healed, when we've brought to the place of peace where once there was disturbance and restlessness, when God deals with us, restoring to us the privileges we've lost along the journey's way, when we again return to the one we let drift out of our lives, whatever be the experience we have, we, along with them, will be worshipping the Lord Jesus Christ. We find him, and we find that he is satisfying to our souls. His words are what we need and what we're looking for. We know his blessing of his presence day by day with us. To be like Martha and like, to be like Mary rather, sitting at the feet of Jesus, drinking in his words. Satisfaction in worship and in service. And then the giving of gifts to him. The gifts were precious to these people because not only of what they cost them to buy, but also because they carried them a great distance. But they gave their gifts to the Jesus, the Messiah. And when we have received the gift of life from the Lord Jesus Christ, what gift can we give to him? Nothing is more appropriate than to give ourselves as a living sacrifice to the Savior. He gave no less than his life. Can we give less than that to him? If we try to curtail things, if we try to restrict and to limit things, then we will simply be showing a lack of appreciation over what he's done for us. Searching for Jesus and the satisfaction at the end of that search, which these wise men found and discovered. And for ourselves, this one question I want us to keep ringing in our ears and in our lives. Where is he? Because we need to find him and we need to know him ourselves. There is a whole range of reactions given to us here from these words. We see the, and mentioned already, the hostility of King Herod wanting to destroy and to kill Jesus. And when he failed, he put into effect this blanket carnage of killing everyone 2 years and under. There is the hostility to Jesus. There is a half-hearted indifference to Jesus because these scribes and the Pharisees, yes, they knew all the facts. They could quote the chapter and verse. They knew Micah 5 and verse 2. They knew what prophecies there were about the coming of Jesus. But did it affect them? No. They were just the same after they read all that to the king. They were indifferent. And that same indifference we can find round about us today. But it must not put us off our search. Like these wise men, they carried on to the end. And they found the one they were looking for. And the one that they found was the one who satisfied their lives. Today, may this question be uppermost with us. Where is he? I need him. I need him more than anyone or anything else. My soul has no rest except the rest that he gives. It's promised, but I haven't yet experienced it. But I know he's got it. And I know he gives it. And I'm keeping on searching until I reach him. Where is he? The challenge of these wise men for us, our behavior and our spiritual journey. The question, a simple, simple one, but you can see something of the spiritual weight it carries from what we've been saying this morning. Where is Jesus? He who is born King of the Jews, the Savior, the Redeemer, the one whom my soul needs. Where is he? Have I found him? Have I reached that place sitting at his feet, satisfied by his gifts? And have I given to him my life, my service, my worship? Well then, what about us? Is this the question in our lives? Where is he? Amen.